descending from atop the highest mountains of pop culture and delivering the knowledge of media you seek. This is the Geek Peek Podcast. Descending from atop the highest mountains of pop culture and delivering the knowledge of media you seek.
And welcome to a special episode of the Geek Peek, hosted by your friends, Chris Melvin and Trent Sherrod. Thank you, everyone, for coming and checking out our episode today, which is about the hottest new game around, The Last of Us 2. We're going to be giving you a rundown of the first 6 hours of our playthrough. Spoilers beware. And just for anyone who might be new, The Geek Peek, we are a podcast, pop culture based, with a bit of comedy mixed in. And we give you a rundown of the best TV, movies, video games, and music that you might be sleeping on. We make sure that that is on your radar. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to my co-host, Trent Sherrod here, to start us off on this discussion. We're going to get right into it. And just an FYI, this is going to be a shorter episode for us. So we will be doing a part two in the coming days, and that should finish off the rest of the game. So stay tuned. But Trent, why don't you go ahead and round us out?
Thanks, Chris. For our viewers out there, I just want to let you guys know, doing this little special episode, we have had to have so much restraint in playing this game because we have to make sure that we're communicating while we're playing, but we're not spoiling anything for each other. And Chris has had a little bit more time to play, so he's had to show a lot of restraint and not furthering himself in the game. So So we're both really stopped right at 6 hours, which it's actually a good stopping point. So yeah, we're going to dive right into it, and we'll just give you our thoughts and a brief recap of what we've been playing in The Last of Us 2 so far. So the game opens up. We see Joel polishing the, what is it, a bridge, Chris, of the guitar? Yeah, he's polishing a guitar, and basically he's talking to his brother Tommy. It's not clear that it's Tommy at first, but you find out later it's his brother. This is kind of like an exposition of the first game. So The Last of Us came out, what, 7 years ago? Something like that?
Last of Us Part 1 was released in 2014, I guess. 2013, okay, so like, excuse me.
Yeah, so 7 years ago. I personally didn't play through the game again before playing The Last of Us 2. I watched a little YouTube recap, but this basically serves as a recap as to what happened in the first game. And so Joel is basically telling Tommy everything that happened. And this is, I think, the first time he's admitted to somebody else that he basically just murdered everybody in the Firefly camp from the first game to save Ellie. Including the doctors. Yeah, he just completely decimated everybody. And so for those of you that don't remember, at the end of the first game, Ellie was brought to this hospital run by the Fireflies in Boston because she was immune to the virus. Joel finds out that this vaccine that they're trying to create for humanity, the only way they can even possibly have a chance of creating it is by operating on Ellie's brain, which would basically kill her. And so he decides
that it has killed others that they've tried to do the same with.
Good point. Good point. Yeah. And so Joel basically decides that's not going to fly with me. And he goes on to just plow through an entire group of rebels, I guess you would call them, the Fireflies.
They're a resistance group against the oppressive government, and they're trying to find a cure for the virus. But unfortunately, that does not align with Joel's plans.
Right. So he ends up being able to rescue Ellie. And at the end of The Last of Us, it's left kind of ambiguous as to whether or not Ellie knows that she could have potentially provided a cure if her life would have been sacrificed. What Joel tells her is there was no chance and they basically gave up. So it's kind of left ambiguous. You kind of think that she realizes that that's not the truth, but she doesn't push it any further. And so that's where we start. It's Joel explaining this to Tommy. And then you get right into the game. You're riding on horseback. Basically, you're kind of getting a feel for the land, and there's Tommy and Joel talking back and forth. They get to this camp, and
it's Jackson, Wyoming. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Okay, good, good. Yeah, Wyoming. Sure. So they get to the camp. They stable their horses. Tommy says, hey, Joel, by the way, I'm not going to tell, I'll take this to the grave. I won't tell a single soul. And Joel says nothing. He just kind of gives him a look of acknowledgement and then he walks away. Cut to Ellie in her own cabin. She is drawing, I believe, maybe drawing comic books or something. And Joel knocks in and it's very awkward. She's also
listening to her Walkman because she doesn't know that he's there for a minute.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, he surprises her. And so he's like, hey, I just wanted to check in. And she's like, well, you know, it's getting late. And he's like, I know, and I won't keep up too much of your time. I just wanted to give you something. He walks in with that guitar. He says, please don't laugh at me. And she says, okay, I won't. And then cue probably the second most emotional moment I've ever had in a video game ever.
And it's in the first, like, literally in the first, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah. It's like so tears.
Dude, it, like, I honestly was playing it and it almost moved me to tears. Like, and I was like, whoa, I was not prepared for this.
I was tearing up at the beginning of the first game when Joel's daughter Sarah died, and I got the same feeling from this. So he basically sings a song for Ellie, and the first little lyric is, if I were to lose you. And he goes on and sings the song, and it's just, it's a really
ditty, by the way.
Yeah, it's a powerful moment. And it's a really good shared moment between the two of them to start the game off. And at one point he's like, you know, I'm going to teach you how to play. And that's pretty much how they end it. Then we go into 4 years later. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Okay. So we go 4 years later. Ellie's woken up by, oh, I forget what his name is. He looks like Glenn from The Walking Dead, actually.
Yes, he very much looks like his character is based off of Glenn.
Yeah. So he's waking her up for some kind of duty that she's got to go in, some mission or whatever, scouting expedition.
His name is Jesse, by the way.
Jesse, yeah. So he's waking her up and they're talking about the night before, and Ellie had actually kissed this girl, Dina, who was Jesse's ex-girlfriend. And he actually surprised by it and hurt. And it turns out he's joking with Ellie. He's like, I don't care. You guys can do what you want. And then they're walking through town to go meet with the leader of of this little community that they have. He's like, yeah, I heard Joel absolutely decked Seth last night. And so I guess what had happened is he had made some very homophobic comment about Ellie and this other girl, Dina, sharing a kiss. And Joel, again, wasn't having any of that shit and just fucking lays him out. So I thought that was kind of another really good moment to show how much of a father figure Joel is over Ellie, especially with being like a very Southern guy. He's from Austin, Texas originally. And, you know, maybe he didn't feel that way before about protecting LGBTQ rights and all this kind of stuff. But as he grows to love Ellie, you can tell that he's very defensive about it. I thought that was a pretty good moment too.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought they did a very good job early on of building up that relationship with pretty minimal interaction outside of that first scene.
Yeah, pretty much the rest of what we're going to talk about today, like, not, there's not a lot of interaction between Joel and Ellie, especially in terms of gameplay. There's none in terms of gameplay. So they're walking through the town. It's kind of getting you acquainted with the town. Ellie ends up meeting the leader of the community, and they have to all go out on this scouting mission. And Jesse actually puts Dina, his ex-girlfriend, who coincidentally was the one making out with Ellie earlier in the night before, he puts them on a mission together to go do this reconnaissance.
Yep.
There's actually a pretty fun part of the game with the snowball fight. What did you think of that, Chris?
I was like getting pelted a bunch because I am not used to playing on a PlayStation. So I was getting a little frustrated by it, to be honest with you, because I just kept getting nailed by little kids. I ended up beating them, but I was like, how do I throw, which I don't know. I'm an Xbox guy. So it was its own challenge overcoming just the controls.
Yeah. Basically it was one of those parts of the game where it's like, oh, here's this little mini game so you can figure out how to use the controls. And Dina and Ellie are like playing with a bunch of kids having a snowball fight. So I don't know. That was kind of cool. I also didn't mention, and Chris, you really like this part. I didn't like it as much, but where you actually get to play the guitar on the PlayStation when Joel's playing it.
Yeah, so I'm going to go into that for a minute. In my opinion, one of the coolest things a video game has done in a very long time that's really impressed me, and it had not been hyped up or talked about at all. When you're playing on the PlayStation controller, there's like, I think it's called the touchpad, which is between the two sticks, the black square section, rectangle.
Yeah. Yeah.
On that, you can either strum up or strum down and individual strings on it. So there's videos on YouTube, if you look it up, of people playing songs on the guitar, popular songs. Black Hole Sun was one of them. Seven Nation Army. But basically, I think it's probably one of the coolest things that I've seen in a long time. And I would love to see a Rock Band or Guitar Hero game adapt that, because it really does. Like, you can play every single string individually or like chords up and down, and it's, you can change the tuning super easily. I played around with it for probably about 20 minutes the first time. Not this one, but the upcoming time that you get to play with it in the music store, which we'll get to. Mm-hmm. But I just can't speak highly enough about this. When you play this game, I would recommend just taking some time to screw around with it. It's a really, really cool, innovative little thing. And it's a nice reprieve from how dark the game is. It's just a little lighthearted, like fun, really cool feature that like no other game has anything really very similar to.
Mm-hmm. I didn't play around with them that much, partially because I was trying to catch up to you in the game. but yeah, if you guys heard it, if you have the time or if you want to just mess around with it a little bit. So anyway, we finished a snowball fight, which is kind of like a tutorial of sorts on the controls of the game. And we get right to where Dina and Ellie are about to leave the gates and do their little reconnaissance. Basically, what these people do is they go out, I don't know how many times a month, but they scout the area, clear out any clickers or runners, and see if they can find any other people that are out there, any threats. And then they all have little scouting stations where they meet up at, and they have a notebook where they'll mark what they did, how many people they cleared or clickers or anything like that, and then they move on. So that's what this mission is. I believe that's when we cut to Abby, who is in... Do you remember this part fairly well? Do you want to take this part?
Yeah, I'll take the lead on this. So this is one of my favorite parts of the game. So you cut to this lady, and you don't really know what her deal is. She's with a small group, and they are overlooking the colony at Jackson, Wyoming. And like I said, you don't know her deal. Well, really, it starts out, she gets woken up as you're playing with her. She's woken up by another male in the group. He takes her to a peak, and then they're overlooking it. And then they are privately discussing the fact that they're coming. Well, at least this is what I put two and two together and realized, but they're coming to hunt down Joel to kill him in revenge of the Fireflies. And they are from Wolf, WLF, the Washington Liberation Front. They're discussing it. He's saying we should turn back. There's a lot of people. She basically says, we're not doing that. We're getting them. And he goes back to camp, and she actually proceeds down towards the city or the colony.
Well, she gets angry because it's kind of insinuated they may have had a little fling in the past. And he tells her Mel's pregnant. And so the fact that he's like not trying to go in and complete whatever mission they have. By the way, they don't specifically mention Joel, but at one point they say, do you think he's in there?
Yeah.
And you have to assume it's Joel.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially because of the like very strong emotional moments that you have early on with him.
It's terrible. It's so terrible.
Yeah, it's like they show you how important he is to Ellie and how beautiful their bond is, even when they're frustrated with each other. And then once you put two and two together and you see that this girl's here trying to find someone and hurt them, it's like, oh, God.
By the way, this woman looks like fucking Ronda Rousey. Her arms are fucking huge. I don't know what is going on here, but she is straight up jacked.
Yeah,
did you notice that right off the bat?
I just figured she had multiple coats on, but if like that was her body type, yeah, she's built like a linebacker.
Yeah, it's insane.
So we proceed to, after she storms off angry with the gentleman that she's with, he kind of goes back to the camp, it's insinuated, and then she pursues down in, and she basically is talking to herself saying, I'm going to do this by myself if I have to. So you can tell she's pretty hell-bent on revenge. And then as she goes further down, it eventually cuts back to Ellie and Dina, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, she encounters some runners along the way, and you're kind of just running through the snow and trying to either escape or defeat these fungi-infested zombies.
Yeah, nothing too intense yet.
Yeah, except the one part when she like falls down the cliff and then she's like getting up and one comes out from underneath the snow and grabs her. That scared the shit out of me.
Oh, yeah. There's some jump scare parts and this game is so graphic, but I'm not even going to get into that right now. So anyways, it cuts back to Dina and Ellie and they go to this.
It's a radio tower.
Oh, yeah, it is a radio tower. But
yeah,
that's where their mission is. And then there's a commotion. There's a hubbub. And so they go outside and push comes to shove. Basically, a blizzard rolls in on them in the middle of them getting into a fight with some walkers or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever you were going to call them. And they end up going to this abandoned library. And while they're in this library, they find this like basement that one of the people who clearly is a part of their colony has been using as like his own private kind of hangout.
Oh, yeah, this is important. This is important. Before you go any further, they keep mentioning this guy, Eugene, that I guess Dina used to be really close to. And they find this little area in basement. And it turns out that Eugene had completely kept this quiet from everybody else. And you find out that he was a former Firefly at one point, which kind of makes you think, what was he an insider and kind of leading this other group to the Jackson, Wyoming colony? But Chris is going to get to the best part.
Yeah, so they walk down there and he also has some type of grow house down there where he was curing weed. And so there's all this weed hanging everywhere. And then Dina and Ellie decide they're going to smoke some of these joints that they find in a jar. So they get really high and end up hooking up after a pretty romantic moment. And then it cuts back to the
Abby.
Abby, the female wolf. So they end up like when it cuts to her, you're still kind of in that. OK, there's like, you know, a few walkers here and there, a few runners here and there and some clickers. Well, something. What was the catalyst for when shit hit the fan?
Well, basically what happened was like you cut back to her. She's still in the snow. The blizzard's picking up a little bit and you see one runner or clicker off in the. Here's the difference. The clickers are the completely turned fungi infested zombies. They can't see.
They also click.
Yeah. They have echolocation. That's how they basically like they listen to see if they can find you. The runners though can still see and they're more like World War Z zombies. So there's a runner down there.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to like sneak around it. And my little brother is actually visiting me. He's like, yeah, bro, just get ready to run. And I'm like, what? And all of a sudden I hear,
dude, this part was so like stressful, man.
You run for straight like 5 minutes in the game. Yeah. Away from these
you players. Just start sprinting. And like from that point on, it's just all of these zombies spilling out everywhere. It's so intense.
Yeah. So you spend about 5 minutes literally just running through the snow trying to get away from them.
Also, I ended up taking a wrong turn and getting killed once, which was really frustrating. And every time you die, it's like the most graphic thing ever. Like my whole face got torn off. I'm like, dude, come on.
Speaking of graphic, this is kind of fucked up, but whenever I stealth kill somebody, I turn the camera around so I can see like Ellie's face or whatever as she's killing them. And then you just watch her like stabbing. Do that next time because you can do that. You can turn the camera around and you watch her do it.
That's wild. Okay, I'll have to do that.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're basically just running away from this horde of zombies. And right when you think all hope is lost, in comes your savior, Joel. Joel Miller, his good brother, Tommy.
And Tommy boy.
From good old Austin, Texas.
Oh, God. I love them as a combo.
Me too. Fucking badasses. Like,
yeah, they are. Anyway, so pushing forward, the next thing that happens is they end up helping you. A couple close calls. You're starting to fight the zombies. Eventually, you run to a shelter. You block the door, and then they're trying to swarm through the door. And Abby ends up saying, "We can go to this lodge. I have friends at this lodge." So they start making their way there. This is where the game takes the darkest turn it could possibly take. Absolutely gut-wrenching part coming up. Huge spoiler. So they just make it inside the lodge. They stop all the zombies, and the other people that came with Abby, the WLF people, are all in this room. And Abby says, thank you. And they're chit-chatting and introducing themselves. And Tommy introduces himself first, and then Joel introduces himself. And every person in the room stiffens. And you immediately know. You immediately know that that's why they're there.
Yeah.
And honestly,
Joel makes a really great, he's like, you guys already know who we are, don't you?
Yeah.
And then so he turns around.
This is when
Abby fucking blows his leg off with a shotgun. Shoot him in the leg.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just shotgun.
Yeah, blew his leg off.
Bye.
Ugh. It's so gnarly. So he goes down, starts screaming. They beat the shit out of Tommy, like knock him unconscious. And
yeah, they're like beating Tommy in the face with the butt of a gun, like multiple times.
And then Abby orders the medic that's with their group to put a tourniquet on his leg because, quote, he's not going to get out that easy, basically.
Well, he has a really good line. He basically, they like shoot him in the leg, beat the shit out of Tommy unconscious. And Joel asks, who are you? And they don't say anything. And he basically is like, it's kind of a badass moment for Joel. And he's like, just say whatever the fuck you're going to say and kill me. Because he knows. He's like, this is it. Because here's the thing is like, I'm not empathizing with these characters at all that are torturing Joel. But Joel is not a sinless man. He has decimated colonies.
He's a deeply flawed hero.
He is. Yes, he definitely is. I mean, we love him because we see him through the perspective of him and Ellie and their relationship. And you kind of feel for him right off the bat in the beginning of The Last of Us Part 1 because his daughter dies. But he definitely has his demons. So you know going into this that he has wronged some people. They even show you in the first game. He encounters a group of thieves, like a gang of thieves, and ends up basically mowing down all of them. And in the process, he gets impaled by a wrought iron. And Ellie's like nursing him back to health. But this group is like looking for him. And when they finally figure out who it is, they're like, oh, we're fucking killing this guy. And so this is essentially the same thing that happens. It's a group that also, I also got the inclination that this is revenge on behalf of the Fireflies, but that is not explicitly said. So I don't think we can actually say that these people are taking revenge on
because of
what he did in Boston.
I think what's happening, I do think it's because of what he did in Boston. I do think that that's what it is because I think all of them or some of them have family members or friends that were murdered by him.
Yeah.
Even though they are not a part of necessarily that group.
Well, I mean, this girl, Abby, it is intensely personal for her. So there's got to be some Joel killed somebody that she was very close to. Later on in the game, we actually get a conversation between Ellie and Dina talking about Joel and Tommy's past before he met Ellie. And it was very dark. She's like, yeah, those guys did some fucked up shit. So there's like some stuff that we don't even know about that they've done.
Definite skeletons in the closets.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Here comes the gross part, by the way.
Yeah.
So basically the next part is Ellie and Dina. Their story actually coincides because there's a report of zombies. And so they go to help Joel and Tommy, not knowing what's going on. So it cuts away after they start beating Joel to Ellie and Dina's storyline. And so they make it to the house.
Well, they get there because Jesse comes in and finds them. And he's like, yeah, they're like, why are you here? And he said, well, I came out looking for Joel and Tommy because they didn't report. And that's when Ellie's like,
yeah,
that is not normal. Like,
and also Jesse comes in on them after they had slept together. So that's just a little drama tidbit, but we're kind of,
it's also his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. So side note, one funny thing was when they're like, he walks down there and he's like, it smells like weed down here. And it's like, yeah, there's literally weed everywhere on screen. Everywhere it's hanging, like, you're so dumb, dude. What?
Yeah.
Anyways, so jump to Ellie and Dina coming into the house. So Ellie walks inside and gets subdued, basically.
Well, what happens is, she opens the door where she hears everything happening and sees this girl beating the shit out of Joel with a golf club. She has her gun trained on her the entire time. I'm screaming, shoot her, Ellie,
lock the door locks. Anyways, she gets subdued. Very unfortunate. She's put on the ground. And this is where you watch Joel get his brains beat out with the golf club.
Yeah.
Very graphic, very upsetting.
She's literally screaming at Joel. She's like, get up and fight. And Joel's just looking at her. And then he's like, please stop. Don't do this. And one of the guys in the group comes up to Abby and he's like, we got to go. And she's like, you want this too? And he says, finish it. And then straight Negan's Joel, like just five iron to the fucking dome.
Caves his
skull, blood everywhere.
Yeah, he's for sure dead. There's no question about it. Reactions to this scene, Trent, real quick?
Gut-wrenching. To be honest, I felt it coming from the very beginning because when they gave us that moment with Joel and Ellie with the guitar, I'm like,
it was too beautiful for Last of Us, man.
Right. I was like, they're giving us this for a reason because they have to give us this moment before they just brutally kill Joel. Otherwise, the fans would revolt. And my gut feeling was like, I don't want to play this anymore. Like, I don't want to play a game without Joel where this happens to him. But upon...
go ahead, please.
I was going to say, upon deeper reflection, I'm like, if this, I mean, that's a realistic storyline. Like, Joel is not a saint. There are people out there that he has wronged, and the sins of his past have basically caught up with him. And he probably knew that this was coming at some point.
Yeah. I mean, in my mind, I think that this story is so powerful. Of course, I'm upset that Joel's gone. Of course. He was a great character, he was a great protagonist. But at the same time, Ellie's also a really good protagonist. And the story so far has got me like emotionally wrapped up in it, man. I'm really just invested in it. Obviously, rip your heart out that moment. I'm totally with you. That really was... It had me shook. That's the best way I would put it. I was seriously shook.
Yeah. And to be honest, I had a little, like, the smallest sliver of hope because the next scene is Ellie talking to Tommy and, Ellie's wanting to go after these people and Tommy's saying it's probably not a great idea. And I'm playing and I'm talking to my brother and I'm like, they haven't mentioned that Joel's dead yet. I was like, Joel better be on a fucking gurney with his head wrapped somewhere. Like, he better not be fucking dead. And you see... She goes to the gravesite. I'm not joking. When I saw the grave... I got out of my chair on my knees and just fell to the ground. And I was like, no.
It was so upsetting. And like I said, I'm not unhappy with the decision to kill Joel because I think that it makes the story so compelling for what's about to happen. But I will forever be sad that Joel can't be in these games anymore unless they do another, like if they did a game about him from the time when the outbreak begins up to The Last of Us when he meets up with Ellie.
Which is a 2-decade time period.
Yeah. So moving forward, she decides that she wants to go after him. Dina says, obviously, I'm coming with you. They think that they're not going to get approval from the lady in charge of the village, Maria. She's actually Tommy's wife. Mm. They go to Tommy. Tommy says, give me one day. I got to talk to Maria. Tommy ends up dipping without telling them. And gets a one day head start. And then
Tommy played it so cool with Ellie. He's like, yeah, you know, it's not, might not be a great idea. Meanwhile, he's like, vengeance is plotting, my nature now.
Yeah, he's plotting. He's like, I literally live for blood right now.
I'm leaving my wife. Vengeance is my mistress.
So anyways, they talk to Maria and Maria's actually supportive of them going. She's like, you need to bring my dumbass husband back home safe, please.
Yeah.
Because he went by himself and like he brings up all the concerns that are reasonable, such as we have no idea how big their group is. We don't know exactly where they are. We don't know if they know we're coming, so on and so forth. So She ignores all that, throws caution to the wind. Dina's like, hell yeah, I'm coming with you. So they leave. They get a horse. What's the horse's name again?
Shimmer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shimmer's dope.
A little Easter egg. Shimmer has a brand of a J on its leg because that was Joel's horse. You notice that?
I did not know that. That's
yeah, when you play, well, you can't play with Shimmer anymore. Spoiler alert.
We'll get to that point.
But as you're playing, yeah, Joel has there's a J that's branded into the left like hindquarter of or the right hindquarter of Shimmer. Yeah. Kind of cool little Easter egg.
So they head off to Seattle where the WLF, we'll call him Wolf from now on. Wolf. Mm-hmm. That's where they reside. So flash forward, they enter Seattle. First of all, beautiful, beautiful graphics. Like this whole, everything in Seattle is gorgeous. Super green, trees, you know, gigantic evergreen trees. And one thing we haven't talked about is how good the graphics of this game are. Oh my God, it's so beautiful. Anyways, so they get to Seattle and they don't see any Wolf soldiers or guards or anything. They come to the main gate of the quarantine zone and, you know, there's some puzzle kind of aspects. I love that they took the ladders out, by the way. I hated the ladders in the first one. It was such a frustration. It just was like super time consuming and like was not nearly rewarding for how frustrating it was. So you get through the main gate and you go inside. There's some cool stuff related to like the rope physics in this game when you're throwing the ropes. I thought that was really satisfying and very cool.
A lot of this next part is just exploring Seattle, gathering, upgrading your weapons, clearing houses, up until you get to a point where they come across a room where there's basically they're finding a lot of people that have died in the battle between, what are they called, the Federalists? And the Wolves?
No. So they're actually called Fedra. I guess it's supposed to be something like FEMA.
Okay.
But the WLF Wolf, they end up overtaking Fedra at the Seattle quarantine zone is another little tidbit that you find out.
Yeah. So this whole time when you're in Seattle, you're clearing places and you're finding out about this battle between Fedra and the Wolves. Eventually the Wolves take over. So you're finding just a lot of old dead bodies and clickers and everything. We finally get to this one house.
There's no zombies for so long is one note that I want to make, early on in Seattle, no zombies, no soldiers. It's like very eerie.
Yeah. You're ready for some shit to pop out at you at any moment.
And I also want to comment on how beautiful all the trees and stuff are in Seattle. Like when you come into that part of the game, it just goes from like a very pretty game to absolutely gorgeous. And like
this game shows you the very last ounce of power you can squeeze out of the PS4 because this is basically the last game of this gen that's going to be this good. And then they're moving on to the PS5. Actually, before we get into what we find in this last house, as you're clearing things out, you're going through like a bank vault. You're going through
The bank. Like, what did you think about the bank part? Or I'm sorry, not the bank part, the courthouse.
Well, the courthouse was terrifying because you end up falling to a basement and clickers just start fucking coming right at you.
Yes.
But the bank part was cool because you get this little mini storyline of how, like, you go in the bank and you find a shotgun, but you find out that there were people trying to rob the bank during the beginning of the outbreak because the police were so occupied with the infected. And so you read it through like basically a suicide note of this guy that was robbing the bank with another group. And he wrote this note before he succumbed to the disease. So that part was pretty cool. And then when you come out of the bank, you think you'd clear all the clickers and there's two more that comes out of nowhere. Dude, that shotgun fucks. That shotgun fucks.
I didn't use the shotgun, actually. I haven't used it yet, but
what?
I'm very excited to use it. I've been conserving all the ammo for it, though, because like I basically go stealth as long as I can, and then I just pop off for a period of time.
Dude, that shotgun is way OP, which makes sense because you have like two shells at a time.
Yeah.
But you can have three. You can have basically three infected coming at you, and it'll destroy all of them in one shot.
Ooh, okay. I'll keep that in mind when I'm
playing
with it. What was your favorite actual building to raid?
You and I both have the same favorite, and you had told me to definitely pay a visit to the music shop, and it paid off, let me tell you.
Oh my God. Another, like, this game so far, 6 hours in, it's hit me with two very, very beautiful emotional parts and one heart-wrenching emotional part in 6 hours. This game has made me want to cry three times.
And this in particular hit me right in the feels, because you go to this music shop and Ellie finds a guitar. And at this point, you realize that that promise that Joel made her, that he's going to teach her how to play, he has taught her. She had referenced it a few other times with Dina that she had like played music for everybody, but you see her pick up the guitar and you're like, oh wow, Joel actually had kept his promise and taught her how to play. Guess what the first lyrics out of her mouth are?
It's the song. It's Joel's song.
If I Were to Lose You. And when I heard that, I was like brought back to the very beginning again. And I'm like, oh my God, this game is fucking with my heart.
The writing is so good, dude.
Oh, dude, it's amazing. And then Dina comes in. She's like, what's that song? And Ellie's like, no, nothing. And then she goes on. I need to find this on Spotify. Like, I need to listen to this cover of Take On Me.
Yeah, Take On Me.
It was so good.
It's a really, really good song. Like, the cover is really, really nice. Also, let's give props to Dina. She's really cool as a side character.
I like her. Yeah.
And I liked the little interaction they had at the gate when Ellie's like, hey, just a heads up, it might take you a few tries to get those generators started while you're like putting in the code. And she's like, okay, and then does it first try, you know, because whenever you're doing it as Joel or Ellie, it's always at least three tries.
Yeah, it's good. So basically, after you leave this whole like downtown area of Seattle, you finally find this house where you clear out a bunch of clickers, and then you find like fresh dead, like you find actual non-turned humans that have been recently killed, like the blood is fresh.
At a WLF like stronghold, basically.
Yeah, and you just start finding dead bodies piled up. You walk into a room, you see a dead body tied up to a chair. You see another dead body 10 feet away tied up to a chair. And Dina's like wondering what's happening, and immediately Ellie says, Tommy did this. This was Tommy.
Dude, I was.
You want to talk about his fucking brutal, like oh intel gathering technique that he uses?
So there's two of them tied on chairs while the rest of them have been murdered. He asks them a question. He allows them to use their hands, makes them both write down their answer. He takes both their answers, and if they don't match, the beatings commence. Dude.
Sounds like, really effective.
Honestly, this whole back and forth post-apocalyptic world, I feel like, is very realistic in terms of like how people would like actually deal with what's going on.
It's very scary because you're like, holy shit. As soon as the walls of society break down, this is when this shit can actually happen. Like, whenever you have nobody to reckon with and all you need, like, when you just have something in front of you that you need, in this situation, it was information. It's scary what a person can do. And it's getting to the very dark side of Tommy.
This game is so grim. Like, so, so grim.
It's awful. You were telling me on the phone that, like, Emily had a bad day, and you're like, don't play this game.
Yeah,
don't play this game today.
I saw Joel die, and I was like, you really, really don't want to play this right now. It happens in the first, hour and a half or so.
Yeah, it's very quick.
But moving forward, so after you check out the music shop, the bank, courthouse, and some various other little, you know, WLF points, nothing too important that we need to go over, but then you decide that you're going on to the next gate. Part of everything that you were doing, you know, you were getting gasoline to try to open up another generator, open another gate to get closer to where you think they might be. So you do all that. And after finding
this point, they're trying to catch up with Tommy. That's
exactly
the next goal. Yeah,
exactly. So, you come in, and right after you open the gate, you ride through, and you're chatting. Dina suggests that you're going to go find some high ground to look down on the city and kind of get the lay of the land. When I say high ground, I mean like a building, because you are in the middle of the city.
Yeah, you're they're trying walking, to camp for the night.
And you go to jump over this barbed wire barricade thing, and there's a fucking landmine, and your horse blows up, and you're shell-shocked, and you're like, what the fuck is happening? And all hell breaks loose around you. There's men who run up. Dina is nowhere to be found, and there's someone who captures you. And Trent, why don't you go ahead and let the viewers know what happens next?
Well, first of all, I was fucking devastated that Shimmer died.
I really liked riding on the horse. I really enjoyed it.
I was just like, God, you got to show me animals getting hurt. Like, it was bad enough that you fucking just Negan'd Joel. But now you got the horse being blown to bits. And then right before that, you see somebody come and just mercy shoot the horse in the head. And it's like, oh, man. Anyway, next scene, you wake up. Ellie is tied behind a metal pole. And actually, whenever she had first run into them torturing Joel, right before she got taken down, she slashed this guy in the fucking face and like just cut a hole right through his mouth. Yeah, so they basically, him and another guy just are deciding whether or not they want to kill her or pump her for information. The other guy, he's like the leader of the WLF, the Wolves, by the way, his name's Isaac. He's like, Isaac says to just kill anybody we capture. Dina comes and she breaks through the roof, like the glass roof, kills one of the guys. Ellie uses that. Oh, yeah, she does. Ellie then uses a piece of that glass to cut her ropes off. As this other guy is like choking Ellie out. I believe his name is Jordan.
No,
he's choking out Dina.
Dina, yeah.
Yeah.
And she fell a little ungracefully after shooting through the glass. She like tried to jump down and like, I guess, hurt herself or something. And then this dude was on top of her. But Ellie, that whole scene was insanely intense.
Oh, dude. Like, Ellie just goes fucking ham on this guy's throat with a switchblade. He's basically choking her out. And she comes up behind him and just cuts him to bits. And then the rest of where Chris and I are pretty much at, the rest of it is you trying to
fight them. The WLF.
Uh-huh. That's pretty much
where
we're at.
We finally have found them. And, you know, we've cleared some small buildings and stuff. But about 6 hours, there's one more gate with some wolf soldiers guarding it, one with a rifle. And that's kind of where our stopping point is 6 hours in. So, Trent, real quickly, thoughts so far?
Thoughts so far. I'll have to play through the rest of the game, obviously, to see how Ellie's vengeance plays out. I hope we get the vengeance that we want. They're really making this Abby character look like she's going to be somebody that you might even play as again throughout the game. So I got to finish the game to see how my overall thoughts are. I don't think it's as good as The Last of Us Part 1 just because that game was entirely focused on the relationship between Ellie and Joel. And it was so beautiful and so good, especially after Joel loses his daughter in the beginning. But still, very solid game. Definitely want to keep playing through. I will say one side note. When you get Joel's gun after he passes away and you go through his house and grab his gun, I've already upgraded that gun fully. And I completely plan on murdering any WLF member I see with that gun specifically.
I love it. So far for me, for thoughts, I think it's beautiful. Honestly, I'm definitely more moved on this game than I was for The Last of Us. Even though The Last of Us is probably one of my favorite games, this is definitely an emotional game. It's amazing. I think this is truly a masterpiece. Beyond any of that, I've had fun with it, but it's one I'm enjoying taking time with. Trent had mentioned earlier that we kind of limit each other on how much we've been playing. It's been a really nice game to play, you know, a little here and there, as opposed to me just blowing through the whole thing. So on that note, that's pretty much my takeaway so far. I can't wait to beat it. It's scary as hell at points. It's beautiful as hell at other points. But I can totally see why this is like one of the top selling games of all time. In the UK, I believe it's number one right now of all time for them. So
yeah, it is. Well, thank you guys for listening. Chris and I are going to have another one of these episodes for the rest of the game. We might break it up into two parts. We might just do one part. We'll let you know. But Chris, unless you got anything else to add, I just want to thank everybody for listening.
Yeah, I do want to plug real quick. Check out our Instagram and our Twitter, both at Geek Peak Pod. And then check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/GeekPeak Podcast. All right. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate y'all.
We're climbing off this mountaintop. See you next time.
See ya.